Well, good morning. God bless you. Zach, I want to say thank you so much for leading us. Josh and Julie have their baby. Welcome to the world, little Rosalie Rye. We are so thankful to God for you. Jesus, thank you so much for blessing the Mosers, and thank you for a strong, healthy birth. Thank you for a strong, healthy baby. And Mama, we lift them up to you, and we pray for continued growth in you. Jesus, right now, as I am praying and as I'm talking to you, our country is reeling from what happened to George Floyd. And I don't know all the details of it, but I know that this man died, and I know that he died having really not been given any kind of protection like he should have. God, I pray for his family and his friends. I pray for our country. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you open our minds to you. And as in the words of your own mouth, apart from you, we can do nothing. But in you, we have all that we need. And we can do all things through you who give us strength. God, thank you for that truth. I pray for healing. I pray for the oppressed. I pray for those who have been maligned. I pray that we who aren't oppressed, we who aren't maligned, we who think that we've got it all together would help people that don't. Help people that aren't being heard. God, I pray that we all would realize that we need you desperately. God, help us today as we get into your word. Help us today as we worship you. Help us today as we go about our lives, that we know that we need you and you alone save. I pray this in your perfect name. Amen. Hey, look, you guys, there's a guy named D. Wilson. He is a singer. He's a songwriter, and you can find him on Facebook. And he wrote a song, and I think it came out on the 26th, but I want to share it with you. Not all of it. I'm just going to share some of the lyrics with you. He says, "There's a darkness here that's dangerous and aggressive, getting harder every day to shake its power. Won't you heal us from the bondage of oppression? Lord, we need you. We need you right now. Because we don't know what to do, so we turn our eyes to you. We've run out of words to say, but if you come and have your way, you can save us from ourselves before our hurt hurts someone else. We need you now." That's the truth. I want to say it to you right now on this shirt. Jesus saves, bro, or sis, whoever you might be. Hey, if you are still understanding that your life is a gift and a blessing, and all that you've been given is to be a blessing to others, and you understand that the kingdom of God is a different kind of kingdom, and we're looking at that, and you probably already read it on one of these slides. We're looking at the book of 2 Corinthians, and where Paul writes to this broken group of people and reminding them that they have been influenced by God. They have been empowered by God. They've been inspired by God through his son, Jesus Christ, and through the servants of Jesus Christ, his people, and that they are his people, and they get to be influencers. And so we're looking at a different kind of kingdom. And last week, we looked at a different kind of influence. And so this week, would you look with me at a different kind of glory? But what does glory mean? Legitimately, what does it mean? I won't be able to see your quotes and your answers right now, but put that in there. What does the word glory mean? I know there's a lot of different words that it means. So I'm going to ask you to type that in and participate and be a part of this. And I'm going to answer as well, obviously, because, well, I'm talking. But I hope in Jesus' name that you would see that the glory that we get from God is actually a gift to be shared, a gift to be given. All right, so what in the world does glory mean? There's a lot of different words, right? We just don't use the word glory too much, although some Christian people say glory, right? And so what does glory mean? Glory can mean fame, can be acclaim, can be majesty, right? It can be strength, it can be greatness, it can be power. What does glory mean? And what does it mean to you? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to go 3 through 11, and we're going to look at this different kind of glory. And it comes off of the fact that these people that Paul wrote to in Corinth were saying, we're going to need a letter of recommendation. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. You need a letter of recommendation? He said, you guys are my letter of recommendation. What's happened in your lives by the power of the Holy Spirit through me is proof. And that's the letter of recommendation. But he comes after it And he says, look, we got a different kind of power. We got a different kind of glory. And so we'll pick it up. 2 Corinthians 3:3. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. This is a different kind of glory, friends. He's saying, look, it's not the way the world does things. It's God. And God wrote it. And he wrote it on your hearts. And that's hard to change, right? It's Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. It's not about us, y'all. It's about God, about him. It's a different kind of kingdom. This God came and gave himself for us, rose from the dead, and lives in us and through us. I'm already excited, and I'm not even 10 minutes in. Woo! Here we go. This is all from God. Our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You get a chance. Go and check out Romans 8:1-4. It's the Spirit of God that sets us free. It's not the letter of the law. It's not us following the law, because we can't actually do that. And he unpacks all of that in there. And he actually talks about it here a little bit in 7-11. And I want to let you know that this isn't a religion that we're talking about. It's relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's his love and his law written on our hearts that we would live it out as a glory to him. It's not about us. It's about him. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze on Moses' face because of its glory, which is being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Now, some of you might be going, what? Moses in Exodus went up on the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And he showed his glory to him. But it was actually, he had to veil it, right? He had to back up into this cleft of the rock. And God covered him and he saw a little bit of the glory. And that's like the law was given. And this law actually condemned. But here's what happened to Moses. He was so impacted by just seeing the transcending glory of God, the power and the majesty as it passed by, that his face glowed. Like a glow worm. My daughter Genesis had this glow worm thing, and I always think of that, like it, you squeeze it and it lights up. That's what Moses' face apparently looked like, and it freaked people out. And this was from the law, and the law was never, ever intended to last. I'll just unpack it for you here. For there was glory in the ministry of condemnation. The ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Look, the temporary, the law that pointed out that we couldn't do it, that had condemnation, but it had glory with it. But righteousness, God's righteousness, his paying the price, his new covenant actually gives us the kind of glory that lasts forever. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. Something better. You might remember a couple of weeks ago that there was the first Adam and he was made in the image of God. The last Adam, Jesus, came and said, all that stuff that he did, all the stuff that he messed up, I've come and I've fixed. Hallelujah. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Look, the law came to an end. Jesus came and he fulfilled it. This is a different kind of glory, you guys, and I really want to encourage you with this. What kind of glory do you pursue? What is it that you're wanting? What kind of majesty? What kind of power? What kind of authority? What kind of just fame and notoriety? Because we often seek that. And it's so temporary and so fleeting. apart from Jesus, it says, he says actually in John 15, apart from him, we can do nothing. And yet a lot of us don't believe that, and we try. And so I'm going to ask you, what kind of glory are you pursuing? What kind of power do you want? And I'm going to say this, if you recognize it right now, that you need a different kind of glory, you need one that lasts, one that's all about him, because you're recognizing that you're not sufficient to the task, turn to the Lord. Turn to him now. And we're going to see how that looks out. Let's keep going in 2 Corinthians 3. We'll go 16 through 18. Look, a lot changes in this, right? There's this veil that covers people when they try to follow the law and be just all religious and try to meet all of the requirements. They can't do it, and they have to admit it. And so this is where we pick it up. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Are you hearing that song? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. I know you're hearing it. You're welcome. I should maybe not lead worship. All right, there we go. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Not the spirit of the law, which is death. Not the spirit of mankind, which is always going to lack on its own. Made in the image of God, but not God himself. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. It's about God. Jesus saves, bro. Jesus fills you up. Jesus and him alone. And he transforms us. Now we're saved and we're being transformed and we're becoming more and more holy. We're looking at this even in the lesson of communion, right? That it's God who laid himself down for us. And just like you heard last week and just like you heard this week, it's God who is the one that lifts our heads. And we recognize that he died a new covenant in his blood. So we're transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Man, that's such good news. And so changing your pursuit means turning to the Lord. And turning to the Lord means that there's freedom. Freedom not just to make mistakes, although you can do that, but freedom to stand up in him. Freedom to be set free from that which veils us. There's no more veil. It's just freedom. Therefore, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, and remember, friends, where the therefore is therefore, and why is that therefore there? Well, go back and check. He's saying, look, you're being transformed by turning to the Lord. He's the freedom. He's the strength. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, not by us keeping the law, but by him and his mercy, we don't lose heart. That's a word for me. That's so relatable because I can lose heart. I look around me, I see the pain and the agony of life, and I lose heart. But I have to come back to this therefore, because God transforms us from glory to glory. We're not going to stay in one spot. Have you ever heard that God loves you right where you're at? Well, that's good, because he does. But he doesn't leave you there. He continues to transform you and me by his glory, by his power, by his Spirit. And he says, look, we don't lose heart, but we've renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We're not trying to do things the way man does things, the way our attempt will try to make something happen. Underhanded ways, guilt trips, just being people who mess with people. We're not going to do that. He says, we've turned from that. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. We're not trying to make it say what we want to say. We're letting it say what it's supposed to say. We're letting God's word cut into us and cut out of us what needs to be cut out, and to drop into us what needs to be dropped in. Would you hear that word right now? Don't tamper with God's word. Be real with it. Let him read you. Don't just you read it. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. He's like, look, I swear to God, I am just telling the truth. I'm not trying to be slick. I'm not trying to be clever. I'm just pointing people to Jesus. That's good. That's always good. And so I'm going to tell you this at this point. Mankind's attempt at glory, our attempt at glory as people, is temporary at best. At best. But look, the gospel of Jesus and his power and his glory is now and forever. Our attempts are temporary, but what Jesus did by becoming sin, living a perfect life, by the way, before that, becoming sin, dying on the cross, killing sin, rising from the dead, defeating and killing death, ascending into heaven where he would sit on the throne and he would give us life. His Holy Spirit in us, this guarantee that we have him forever and that he would counsel us and we would have this life now. This is now and forever. This is true glory, friend. This is true glory, brother. This is true glory, sister. Family, are you hearing this? The true glory of God. And he goes on. Look, I know that for some of you, you understand this in a way that is really, really powerful. You have been blinded in the past about God's glory. It says in the word right here in 2 Corinthians 4:3 that the God of this age has veiled their eyes. That's Satan. In their case, the God of this world, verse 4, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I mean, they're blinded. They're blinded by lies, blinded by traps, blinded by their own selfish desires. We all have been that way. That's what happens for unbelievers, those who don't believe that God is the light. But God, but Jesus, only God, only Jesus can change that. For what we proclaim, Paul says, is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Whew. That kind of just slaps you right in the face, doesn't it? Like, it's not us as Lord, but Jesus. It's Jesus as Lord. That's what we proclaim. That with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. I'm not the Lord, Paul's saying. Jesus is. I'm a servant of yours for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And so look, for those who are blinded, they can see. And why can they see? Because the light wants them to see. And he calls out to them and opens up the eyes of the blind. Listen to this, verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The creator of light, the source of life, and the source of light himself has shone light in our hearts that we would have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'd have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Jesus doesn't just save, he transforms. He, and he alone, is the true glory of God. And so I want to say this to you, that the glory of the gospel is light. The power, the majesty of the gospel is light, the source of light himself. All right, so I want to say to you that there's more here. But I want to remind you that there's a paradox at work here. Something that's seemingly contradictory, self-contradictory, and yet it's true. A paradox, and we're going to unpack that, and I'll give you a little bit more about this paradoxical power. But let's go straight to the word. We'll stick with this in 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll go 7 through 11. Actually, I'm going to go 7 through 12. But we have this treasure, this glory of God, this light from God, the gospel of God. We have this treasure in jars of clay. God has taken this treasure of his kingdom, his actual Holy Spirit, and put it in jars of clay, put it in people. This is his temple, is us. To show what? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's about him. He can do anything, and he uses people like us to bring the treasure of the good news of Jesus. So it's actually all about him. Look, people have said for years, Aaron, you're really kind of not that big a deal. And it's true. I don't have a bunch of education. I don't have a bunch of letters of recommendation. I have the Holy Spirit. He put his treasure in me. Be encouraged, friends. If I can be used by God, anybody can. Anybody. It's about the gift giver, not about the gift receiver. It's about him. All right. So he says this. This comes the paradox, right? We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Not only death to ourselves, but actual death. There's people dying right now. I want to stop right now and pray for our brothers and sisters who are afflicted to the point of death in this world. Jesus, I'm thinking of people in China. I'm thinking of people in Nigeria. I'm thinking of people, Lord, in even South America. I'm thinking of people who are being maligned and pushed off to the side and persecuted all around the world because of you. But they are not destroyed. Your kingdom come, your will be done is not just some mantra. It's the truth. Your way. Your will, Lord Jesus. I pray for strength for your family, for our family in you, all around the world. I pray this in your perfect name. Amen. All right, so listen up. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Remember, if we're going through sufferings, we get to actually go through the comfort. If we're struggling, we also get to overcome. And it's because of Jesus. Yes, he died, but he rose from the dead. That's resurrection, right? We're about to talk about that right here, right now. So death is at work in us, but life in you. There is going to be struggle. There is going to be pain. But the glory of the gospel is a paradoxical power. Let me unpack it for you, just a couple of things right here. We're comforted because he was afflicted. Look, we are accepted because he was rejected. We live because he died. We who are just jars of clay, we're just made out of mud, have this greatest treasure ever inside of us. God lives in and through his people. I want to ask right now that you would ask God for his perspective on glory. God, help me to see glory the way you see it. Help me to understand it. Help me to know what your power is. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you walk in this glory, no matter what, even if. Let's go to verses 13 and 14 and just kind of bring this home. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written. This is in Psalm 116, by the way. I believe, and so I spoke. In Psalm 116, the author is talking about struggle and suffering. But he's like, you know what? Even in struggle and suffering, I believe, and so I speak. He says, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. We can't help but speak about Jesus when we see him and when we believe him, when we need to see him and believe him. Friend, I'm going to tell you something that I've already told you before. In Jesus Christ, you get a chance to be the aroma of life to people. Yeah, you can be the stench to death to some people, but you get to be the example, the aroma of life. Some people are going to choose him and some people aren't. But you and I get to shine for him. We get to step out. You cannot help it. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? Do you need Jesus to change that? Do you need him to encourage you? Ask him to help you. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Look, you overcome because Jesus overcame. Death brings life. How's that for a paradox? Oh my goodness, we have life because of Jesus' death and resurrection. We rise because he rose too. And so, I will say this to you. Ask God to give you his spirit, to open your eyes to the things that are unseen. He who created everything, the universe, all the galaxies, all the universes, he spoke that into existence. He created it from nothing. He didn't need anything to create it. He's got that power, and he is the one that lives inside of his people. Are you his people? Come to him today. Follow him. Believe him. Again, ask God for his spirit to open your eyes to the things that are unseen. Check this out. Some of my favorite passages in all of 2 Corinthians are right here. Verses 15 through 18 in 2 Corinthians 4. For it's all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. What's for your sake? We even go back and take a peek here. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. We win. So all that we go through, the struggle, the trial, remember we talked about last week, we're comforted in all of our afflictions that we would comfort others in their affliction with what we received. We raise up with Jesus. And it's for the sake of others that they would be able to see that and believe it and speak it out and live it out. So this is that more people, this happens that more people would increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. God gets the glory. God gives the thanks. God gets the thanks. We give the thanks. So we don't lose heart. I don't know if you can see this right here, but I got it all marked up. Red and yellow, black and white. We're precious in his sight, but it's right here, right now. I have this, we don't lose heart. Why? Because even our suffering, even our death does not end the story. We rise up because of Jesus. We live because of Jesus. Though our outer self is wasting away. Take a look. Yep. Our outer self is wasting away. Our bodies are falling apart. This world is falling apart. Though that's happening, our inner self, our inner man, our spirit is being renewed day by day. Friend, I want to take a minute right now and remind you that what you feed lives. And what you starve dies. What are you feeding? Are you feeding fear? Starve it. Starve it with the truth of Jesus Christ. Starve it that though our outward body, though our outward world is wasting away, we're being renewed day by day. Feed your spirit. Starve. Starve fear. Starve sin. You gotta daily take up your cross and deny yourself because your flesh won't die until it's dead. And I'm not telling you to go physically kill yourself. Please don't hear that. But please do hear this. In Jesus Christ, you and I have the ability to be what it says in the Word is living sacrifices. You and I are living sacrifices. The problem with living sacrifices, the old saying goes, is that we can crawl off the altar. Get back. Die to yourself. Say no to yourself. You're being renewed by Jesus day by day. For this light and momentary affliction, which doesn't always feel that way, but it is light and momentary compared to forever, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You cannot compare what we have in Jesus to what we're suffering right now. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Thank you, Lord. Hey, will you ask God right now? Just talk to him right now. Ask him for the strength to trust him no matter what. Even if, and you can fill in the blank. I'm going to end with 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. I'm not going to unpack it a bunch. I'm just going to read it to you. I want to let you know that even death, even this temporary body that we're in, can bring glory to God because we have something else coming. If you want a parallel to this, please go read Hebrews 11 this week. But here you go. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, if our body is destroyed, we have a building from God. We have a new body, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Oh man, this life sucks. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Your life, your body, your sufferings right now are temporary, and they will be swallowed up by life. And as a Christian, you and I get to live that out even right now. We get a head start for eternity. He who has prepared for us the very thing, this very thing, is God, who has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. Service loaner for life. Look, I got you, he says. My Spirit lives inside of you. So this is why we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, so here, we're actually away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we're of good courage. And we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due to him or her for what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. You want to take it on your own, and you want to try and just use your glory, which is temporary at best? Or do you want to trust in God? Do you want to give him the glory? Do you want to have a different kind of glory? Kind of glory that actually came and died for you, took on all your stuff and paid your price and rose, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. Now that's glory. That's power. That's eternal glory and power. And it's Jesus's. And he shares. He shares. We're more than conquerors. We win and we get to enjoy the victory forever. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I want to thank you that this is your story, your glory, your kingdom, your ways. God, help us to understand where we need to trust you more, where we need to turn away from our temporary vision and trust your eternal vision, your eternal home, your eternal power, your eternal glory. God, I pray this. I don't know how to apply all this for everybody. I'm still trying to figure out how to apply all this for me, but I'm going to keep chewing one bite at a time. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that my family and friends do as well. I pray all this in your perfect name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Go share this good news with somebody. Jesus loves you. All right, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.